Today I want to talk to you about something. In some ways, it's not going to be new, but in my opinion, after walking with Jesus as long as I have, I'm 57, turned 57 in August. And for 37 years of being a Christian, walking together, it is something, if you're going to follow Christ and pursue God's will, and for us collectively as a body of believers, to pursue what God's called us to do in the city, this will never change. Change is inevitable. Change is a constant in our lives. And today I'm talking about navigating change, if you want a title for this, navigating change. And I want to start in Habakkuk chapter 3, because this is a great book about a place in the history of Judah and an impending, it was a dark place, and an impending, overwhelming transition that was going to take place as the prophet Habakkuk speaks to this. It's a picture of a prideful people being humbled while the righteous live by faith in God. It reminds us that while God may seem silent and uninvolved in our world, He always has a plan to deal with evil and always works out justice eventually. The example of the prophet Habakkuk encourages believers to wait on the Lord, expecting that He will indeed work out all things together for good to those that love God and those that are called according to His purposes, Romans 8 says. So let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your grace in our lives. And Lord, we thank You that You are the chief bishop and guardian of our souls, the architect of this house, of Your house, and that we are Your people called by Your name. Lord, be glorified in our midst, in our city, in our nation, and around the world as we seek to honor You as Your sons and daughters. In Christ's name, amen. Now, you've got to understand, Habakkuk starts out in chapter 1 with this verse, the oracle which Habakkuk the prophet saw. How long, O Lord, will I call for help, and You will not hear? I cry out to You, violence, yet You do not save. Why do You make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. He was crying out and saying, because they were surrounded by darkness, they were surrounded by injustice, they were surrounded by evil, they were surrounded by wickedness, and as a people, God seemed to be nowhere in the neighborhood. But yet, this is God's people. Where is His love? Where is His covenant and all the promises and everything that He had said that He would do? And they were crying out and at the same time recalling to mind what God had said. And Habakkuk ends the book with these verses, and he says, though the fig tree in chapter 3 should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vine, though the yield of the olive should fail, and fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He has made my feet like hinds' feet, and He makes me walk on high places. So in other words, no matter how dark it gets, no matter what I see in the natural, no matter what the media is telling me, and the sensationalism I'm seeing on television and every media outlet in the world, there is a different plan and a different purpose going on. And so instead of choosing what the pundits are trying to tell me about my life and what my future is going to look like, I choose to walk to the beat of a different drum. I choose to believe something that even though with men these things seem impossible, with God all things are possible. I believe that God is in control from generation to generation, and He's working all things together for good to those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. I believe that our best days are in front of us and not behind us. I'm not worried about the future or in fear or anxiety and panic, because God ultimately has the last word. And so instead of my life being dictated by the panic and the anxiety and the fear of the future, I begin to come again in the midst of change, in the midst of transition, and find out what defines my viewpoint of life. What sets the tone for my heart? What dictates my emotions? What speaks to my existence today, tomorrow, next week, next year, and for the rest of my life, this side of heaven? 66 books written over thousands of years by multiple authors, yet one thread coming through that he is the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever, and he has not brought us this far to leave us. He does not pick us up to abandon us when we think all hope is gone. This is the God we serve. So wherever you are today in your life, change is a constant, whether you choose it or you don't choose it. Like Blake said, children grow. And as a parent, it's one of those things when I have four kids and now I have three grandchildren. And so when your kids were little, you know, you're just doing your best to sleep. You know, if you get sleep, God is on the throne. Woo! Revival. Hallelujah. There's breakthrough in the air. And some person with teenagers would always inevitably come up to you and say, enjoy these days. This is easy. Are you insane? Do you know what he just did to the car seat? Blowing out diapers. I mean, we all know that. It's crazy. And then you would get to that place where you would have teenagers, and just out of a sheer kind of meanness, you would look at somebody, the little kids, and go, enjoy this. I remember when they did it to me, now it's your turn. And you kind of wanted to get even. And kind of say, hey, change is inevitable. Because kids grow, life changes, transitions come, seasons come. But yet, in the midst of it all, God is in control. What does change reveal? Change reveals what we're putting our hope in, our confidence in, our trust in. What makes us secure? What our identity is in. How much we live by control. How much we stress about things. We all deal with stress, but do we manage it or does it manage us? God brings change to help us see where our comforts and trust lie. Without change, we stagnate and we die. I'm thankful today that change is going on in my life. I remember making this transition and saying, God, help me in the midst of this. And as we go, and I believe you will, and he has, I would give honor to the Lord. And I stand today in the midst of all the changes I've been through in the last year or so, that God's grace has been more than enough in my life, in my wife's life. And we're so thankful for that. Does God have a plan? You know, the Bible promises that Jesus is coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Charles Spurgeon, the great minister, said this, "It is well for us that amidst all the variableness of life, there is one whom change cannot affect, one whose heart can never alter, and on whose brow mutability can never make furrows." In other words, he is constant in your life. He is the Word, the living Word in him. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and because of that living Word, it never changes. Before this Word, heaven and earth will pass away, but God's Word will never pass away. Now, we know this, and we have an understanding of this, but what hits us and what deals with us is, how do we apply it? In the midst of everything going on in the culture today, how are you applying truth and the Word of God to what you're seeing? Are you allowing life to suck you into the fray? Are you allowing the grace of Almighty God and the promises of God that are yes and amen lift you above it? Without it, you lose sight of God's eternal purpose. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses writes, and he's admonishing the nation of Israel. In verse 2, he says, "You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. It's not enough to know the word, but we must live it. To let faith arise, to say in our hearts, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. I can stand up here and say that to you today, not because it sounds nice and maybe it's something to try and encourage you. I've lived it for years since I was a Christian, becoming Christian at age 20. I've seen God be faithful. There's a whole line, years of battles, situations, circumstances, warfare, fear, anxiety, pressure, things that we have walked through from a family, from a church, from relationships, things that we've been through where we have seen God's hand and God's grace do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think. To stand in awe of look what the Lord has done. I was so blessed by Pastor Eddie sharing his story about a few weeks ago and the incredible journey that he and Catherine went on when they lost their son Jackson. And I sat there and just stood in awe of look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Most of us, most people, save the grace of God, we would be bitter, mad at God, and nowhere near a church. But look what the Lord has done. What a testimony. What an incredible story of God's grace. And it's not something that's just kind of theory. It's reality. It's reality. It's what the Lord has done. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, very familiar verse. Jesus is speaking, and he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, this is going to be really applicable in light of what we just went through, and acts on them, may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house. We can relate to that. We've seen that, right? And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon what? The rock. He sets your feet upon a rock. He makes your feet like hinds feet, which literally means no matter what comes against you, you won't slip and fall. You're not going to slip. He's got this. He's got you. He's got us. He's got the whole world in his hands. Remember that little song? He's got the whole world. We teach our children that. But when we're watching Fox News or CNN or something like that, are we like, oh, I'm not sure he's got the whole world in his hands. I'm really concerned. You know, this is not looking good. We're going to heck in a handbasket. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like, for us as Christians, we've got to rise above this. We've got to know that, I'm not saying we're not involved and engaged in the processes and systems that we live in as a nation, but that's not what my hope is in. It's not what my security is in. And as believers, we must, in times like this, I believe, model our message. Am I living the word? Am I allowing the fruit of the Spirit to dictate my life when I go through conversations or engage situations where I'm wondering, was that just or unjust? Was that fair or unfair? Was that right or wrong? How do I handle this? What do I say? How do I respond? Because inevitably, change is coming. We're on the precipice of it, and in many ways we have to say, what's the future hold? The Bible says that God knows the plans he has for our lives, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give us a what? A future. And a what? Hope. He knows this. This is part of his promise in this book to us as we do life. And I'm thinking about my grandchildren and what kind of world they're going to grow up in. My hope is not in a system. My hope is in God, that the heart of the king is like water in his hand. Brethren, I submit this to you. If God can nail Nebuchadnezzar and make him eat grass, he knows how to handle people. He knows how to handle people. What we have to do is believe. You don't throw away your confidence. Hebrews says, because we have need of endurance, so that once we have what? Done the will of God, we may receive what was promised. Why is it so critical that we're making sure we're building our house in the rock? What is the building your house in the rock? It's taking this word, and when you're in a situation and you're in a crisis or you're in a challenging circumstance, you look to this. What does the word say? It's quite simple. It's not that complicated. Even I can do it. What does the word say? When I'm facing a challenging situation, what does the word say? When I'm in a conflict or something, somebody's saying something that I don't agree with, or I get mad or something like that, what does the word say? If I'm handling a situation that's painful and difficult and hard, what does the word say? If I'm looking to some situation and I'm asking God to intervene and somebody is treating me harshly or somebody's treating me wrong, what does the word say? You can never control how other people treat you. You can only control how you respond to it. And you've got to come back to the cross and stand before the cross and say, I am what I am by the grace of God. And because he chose me, because of his love and death on the cross, he has given me a reason to believe. And God, help me in this moment. Help me to stand when I don't feel like I can stand anymore. We all come in times of change to the end of ourselves where we have to say, Lord, unless you do it, it's not going to happen. This is the place of great growth. It's where we come to the end of our own intellect, the end of our own sufficiency, the end of ourselves, and we say, Lord, if you don't show up, it's going to be ugly. Now, having done this walk with God, this never changes. It's not like you go to, you know, Christian class 101, okay? Okay, for the first 5 years of your Christian walk, you know, God's going to teach you all these things, and then you graduate out of it. You never have to worry about pride anymore. You never have to worry about lust anymore or selfishness. You took that class, you're done. You just move on. There's other things. No. Change, fear, anxiety, pressure, stress, how you treat your wife, it never changes. Been married a long time, you're still having to go to school and figure out, now, okay, why did I say that? You are such an idiot. You know, you constantly are having to what? Change, grow, adapt, and learn. And live in the light of the word, of what God wants to do. We have to model our message. In times of distress, conflict, or confusion, model our message. It is the loudest voice to be heard, because a life lived well screams a lot louder than a loud, gangling, empty drum. There's a lot of opinions and a lot of noise that wants to compete for your attention, but I submit to you the loudest voice that brings credibility to our message is a life lived well. Not perfect, but lived well, which means you're growing, you're adapting, you're trying to find God's will for your life. Why is it important that we model our message and we're navigating change in our life? Because ultimately, at the end of the day, we are, you're the answer to what's ailing the world. You see, we talk about hope, and we talk about belief, and we talk about things, and that's great, but it's kind of like what Blake's talking about this week. We're going to put wheels on our prayers. We're going to put hands and feet on our message. We're not just going to talk about it. We're going to engage it, our culture, and we're going to come head on with the gospel, because we know that God's for us and God has a plan, and his plan is quite simple for thousands of years. Go and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all, and lo, I'm with you always. God has an agenda for this planet. And that's to see people's lives get transformed. Had a great little thing happen to me this week. It was a lot of fun. For those of you who don't know, I am working at my son-in-law's Ford dealership. It's a lot of fun some days. Some days it's challenging. But this particular week, we had a really great moment. There is a gentleman who works in the shop in the back working on a car, and this particular car had been around for a long time and needed to get fixed. And so the owners of the vehicle were like, you guys have had this car a really long time. And it had been at one of the other dealerships, and because of scheduling over getting overwhelmed, they couldn't get to it. And so we brought it from Plymouth, and we brought it to Edenton, where I work. And it was really funny. So we have this car, and it was just a mess. And we had to put a whole new engine in it, okay? Kind of understand what's going on. And you have to kind of go through this process, literally to take the entire engine apart so that Ford will say, yes, it's broken. The fact that it doesn't work means nothing. But anyways, you have to go through this entire process to show Ford that the engine's broken. Ford says, okay, yes, the engine's broken. All right, we're going to put a new one in. Well, this is taking time. The gentleman who's working on this is taking his time. And we finally get to the place, and I'm pushing as nice and as gentle and as kind. You know, again, I'm a Christian. And so trying to be a good Christian in this moment. And we get to this place, and it's Wednesday at 3 o'clock. I had told the owner of the company that it will be done tomorrow. On Tuesday, I told him it'd be done Wednesday, barring no complications. I shouldn't have said that. So we get to Wednesday at 3 o'clock. He's done. Starts up the car. It won't start. So I'm pushing as nice as I know how, gently, in peace, of course. And make a long story short, car doesn't start. End of the day, I come up. We get there the next morning at 7:30. I walk up to the guy. I said, hey, look. I said, what do you think? He said, man, I don't know. I said, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray right now. I said, we're going to ask God to help you and help us. We need some divine intervention here. I did. And I just said, all right, Lord, in Jesus' name, help him. Told him, you know, said his name, Lord, help him. Lord, just get this thing fixed. God, we need help. I need help. I got to get this thing out of here. And he said, and Noah's kind of, yeah, oh, amen. You know, we need some help. So I walk away. I walk away, and I kid you not, it's just minutes. And without getting into all the technical terms why I wasn't starting, I went back to the office and sent there. All of a sudden, like, 2 minutes, I look out. Noah's standing on the hood of the car like this. He's just looking. Next thing I know, he looks at me and he goes, like that. I'm thought, you know, thumbs up's good. So I'm walking out. Sure enough, the car is running. And he goes, it worked. It worked. Got divine intervention. I had forgot this one thing. I was looking over there, and I just couldn't see anything. All of a sudden, I found this one cable. I pulled it out and forgot to put this cable on. Put it on. Engine started right up. And then I was going, praise God. You know, all of a sudden, what's really crazy is then Noah is telling everybody what happened because everybody knew the day before it didn't get started. Well, we prayed and sat there and I found this cable, and God showed me, and I'm just like, yes! Therein lies what we are called to do, to be salt and to be light. Not because of anything within ourselves. You know, believe me, I was thankful the car started and you found the cable. I thought, I'm out here now. I mean, God, you know, I've kind of invoked you here, you know. I need you to really show up so we can make a difference by modeling our message. We can, when we're navigating change, whether if it's change that comes because of life, career, choices you've made, different things, family, whatever it might be, God has a plan and he's in control of your life. All we have to do It's just choose to believe what his word says. Let the word dictate what your heart tells you, not your emotions, not your head. The Bible says that we take every thought captive. We're taking every thought captive against vain imaginations and speculations. Definitely not the news media. This is your answer. I'm not saying we bury our head in the sand. You understand what I'm saying. We're adults here. And so the reality is we have to know that there is something bigger going on in this world than just what we're seeing in the natural on a day-to-day basis. When we choose to believe God's word, what we're doing is we're showing reverence for Christ. We're showing that, God, we respect you. We know, even though we don't see it, we know you have a plan. We know that you're in control. We know that you're working in our lives, that you're for us. We see that and we believe it and we trust it. We have to be strong. We cannot allow panic and anxiety to try and dictate what our faith believes. We have to fall upon this word and say, Lord, I don't understand. I don't feel. I don't understand. I might have questions. But at the end of the day, I believe what your word says. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness in our lives today. Lord, your word says that you see life and your plans and your purposes not from the beginning, but from the end to the beginning. That you are in control of our planet. You are in control of our lives, our marriages, our children. And Lord, you are working as our mind of man plans our ways. Lord, you're directing our steps. You're helping us make good decisions. You're helping us live well as we do life so that your name is praised and you are glorified. Lord, we thank you for your love and your grace. We know that you are in control and that you're changing us, molding us, and shaping us. That we're being transformed from one image of glory to the next. And because of change and navigating, Father, the way we do that is by not just knowing your word, but applying your word to every circumstance and situation in our lives. And then at the end of the day, knowing whom we have believed, that he is able to guard what we've entrusted to him. We thank you for your love and your goodness. In Christ's name, amen.
Let's give Pastor Mike a hand clap. Thank you, Pastor.